when Paul did not accept a gift from them, or when or whatsoever, because Paul must have sensed these fellows have strings, they were offended. And in verse 8 and 9, 2 Corinthians 11, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to minister to you. When I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what was lacking to me, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. And now they don't understand. Paul has to explain. Verse 11. Why? Because I do not love you, God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off. Now look at verse 12. There were some people among them who were not as generous. There were some among the Corinthians who were like the Macedonians. But there was a group who was not. And so there was a mixture. There were part of them who wanted to help Paul, part of them don't want to help Paul. Verse 12. I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. And Paul talked about false apostles, people who lure the things from the Corinthians. These Corinthians were not a very discerning church. So they definitely, I would think that the Corinthian church, we know it has a morality problem, we know it has a strife problem, but let me tell you, it has a money problem. That is why Paul has to teach them about giving in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Why do you think of all churches he speak to them and say, now, don't give out of necessity. Now, don't give grudgingly. Why? Because there were some folks there who do it that way. They have a problem about giving. And it was a problem church. So different from the Philippian church. And we see that in the maturity of a church learns to grow forth into the things of God. And sometimes a man of God gets fleeced. I know some men of God, and they come, and some of the local pastors are not very faithful in finances. They organize a seminar, use a man of God's name. Praise the Lord. They organize a seminar, use a man of God's name, collect and charge heavy fees. I'm speaking facts. If I don't preach this thing, no one will. And it doesn't make any difference at all to me, right? Whether I receive offering, no offering, no difference for me. So doesn't affect at all. But it has to be corrected. And they come all the way to the country, and they did not receive anything. I feel ashamed for them. They have been fleeced. And some of them I've spoken to, and they said, I will never come again. And of course, it is wrong for them to come because of the finances, but it's also wrong for us to cheat them. And it happens over and over. But let me say this. No one can run away from God. You cheat, you pay. Although God's mercy may be great, one day there is a reaping of what we sow. If we sow dishonesty, we will reap dishonesty. And we need to learn as a church to mature. And we talk about personal life, but when here we're talking about the last day church. You say, why should there be all this teaching? Because when we are prosperous, we forget to give. Human nature. I know some believers They come into the church below average. They struggle. They get the word. Started exercising the word. God start prospering them. And watch them prosper. See, when you have been in a ministry for 16 years, you see a lot of progress in some people. And then they reach a stage where they reach above average. And you notice something changed. They are not as giving as before. Because the principle of Deuteronomy works. There is the tendency of man to forget God in his prosperity. Danger signs. Didn't God warn us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8? And he says in verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Verse 11, a warning. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses, and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God. How do we keep from forgetting those things? Keep ourselves in the commandments so that we don't forget those things that God tells us. Don't forget what the purpose of prosperity is. Let your giving be proportionate and measured in percentages and not in amount. I repeat again. Let your giving be measured in percentages and not in amount. Because if you earn 10,000 and you give 1,000, it's still 10%. The 1,000 looks a lot, but it's no different from a person who earns 1,000 and give 100. But because the figures fool us, we think it's big to give 1,000, but it's not. It is big in comparison with your neighbor who may have less. But it's the same in comparison to what God has given you. Never measure your giving by amounts, because we will be fooled by the figures. The data bank gets jammed up. If you don't believe it, it does. When people see big figures, 10,000, 20,000, 10,000, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, the data jams them. Their eyes turn green. They forgot their basic percentages calculation. And they think that 1 million out of 10 million is big. As far as God is concerned, it's still your same 10%. You have not increased your giving. Increase in giving is measured in percentages, not in amount. I mean, no different. If you were earning 1,000 5 years ago, and you give 100 as your tithe, and now you're earning 10,000 and you're giving 1,000, there is no increase. There is no increase. The increase only comes when your percentages change. That's why 3 John advises us that all money is only valuable when it is used to benefit others. Let's remember that. Now let's look at some of the scriptures that Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 6. He tells us in verse 19, Do not lay for yourselves treasures on earth. Now that doesn't mean you go to the extreme and you have no savings, no bank account, and you live from hand to mouth. Please be discreet, right? We've got other teachings that balance this area. But what he's saying is that if we have treasures here and no treasure up there, it's dangerous. We should be faithful, discreet to your family, you know, have a savings. If you have a family, you need a savings account. You don't touch your tithes or your offerings, but you need to handle it correctly. Because you've got a family and you've got children. And all these things, we have to learn faithfulness to handle all these areas. But he's telling us, don't focus just on that. Then he says in verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It does not say where your heart is, there your treasure will be. But it says where your treasure is, where your heart is. Now treasure to us makes us think of Blackbeard the pirate, right? So let's put it more practical. Where your money is, your heart is. He did not say where your heart is, your money is. Most of the time we think of where your heart is, your money will be. But Jesus talks differently. He says where your money is, your heart will be there. That means that somehow in our human nature, how we handle money will affect us. Where I put my money, my heart will be there. Not where my heart is, my money will go. Of course, that principle also go. But Jesus is talking about change. When God starts doing change in our life, the change starts in our pocketbooks. When we start giving to some direction, our heart starts turning away into that. So when we start focusing on the kingdom of God and giving to the kingdom of God in ways we never had before, God starts changing. Which is why God's teacher says to tithe. And at first we struggle. But when we do it, slowly our heart turns and follow where our giving goes. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus tells us, or rather he tells the rich man, the rich man comes to him in Mark 10 and says in verse 17, the rich young ruler, he says, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments, and he quotes the commandments, and in verse 20, he says, teacher, all these I have observed. Then verse 21, Jesus says, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor. And you will have what? Treasure in heaven. Do you know that there is a way you can transport money to heaven? Jesus said it. How you use it, transport it up there. So if I have $1,000 in my bank account and I want to transfer into heaven, how do I do that? Give it away. Isn't it good? You don't even need to TT the God.